Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 74, stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, give ear when with my voice I cry aloud to thee. Have mercy also, I entreat, and give answer unto me. 1 through 4 of Psalter 74.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, in the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 19 through verse 31. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, that they also come, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, how serious is our life as we journey to a never-ending eternity, but how little impression that we have thereof day by day. For a moment, here and there in this world, from time to time, a little thought, a little impression, a little tear, a little remorse, a little desire, a feeble attempt, but comes to nothing. Because it all begins with man. And if this thing be of man, then it shall come to naught. And so it remains with us upon that serious journey and that goes to our long home. And Lord, we are before Thee. Before thy countenance in this afternoon hour, and then that subject, and that thou in thy providence dost give us to consider, is a subject of great solemnity. O, give us then a right place before thee, and wilt thou fill us with that holy awe. Grant to us that right seriousness about our life, and that it is a single opportunity that we have between the cradle and the grave to be united, to be reconciled unto our Maker. Oh, that thou would fill us with deep impressions of our wretched and our miserable state by nature. Open our eyes, Lord, and cause us to see, that we may see as we have never seen before, and that our hearts may be given to understand, and that that new life may be born, and that may begin to seek as we are not able of ourselves. That may begin to ask as we have never asked. Oh, that may begin to knock with that fervency of that jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, that thou would cause us each and every one to be awakened out of our death sleep, then it is not sufficient for us. So thou didst say it in thy holy word, and that one rose from the dead. So dead are we, so beyond hope from the side of man. Oh, if we hear not Moses and the prophets, that we may read day by day, then it shall be ill with us. O Lord, there is but one hope, and there is but one expectation, and that is thy mighty arm. O that thou from thy side would come then this day, and that thou would stretch forth thy mighty arm over us and over our children, to grant unto us that which we cannot give to ourselves, and that thou would draw our hearts that have turned their backs unto thee. For when thou wilt turn us, then we shall be turned. And when thou wilt save us, then we shall be saved. O, do cause us to forsake this world and every former friend, and that those things in which we have delighted all our life, that they may become death unto us, and that all that is of the time may be seen, may be felt to be passing away, and that we may be given lively and true and saving impressions of thy greatness, of thy majesty, of thy judgment to which we are traveling, and that account which we soon have to give. Oh, that we may see that we are not able to stand there alone, and that our hearts may seek thy dear Son. Oh, that thou would reveal him in all his beauty unto those for whom there is no way, and who are destitute, who are afflicted. Lord, that thou may so look upon look upon thy own work, when it may be also amongst us young and old, and when they may be in their own secret chambers, and when they may have come up also to thy house, or when they perhaps are not able, but thou knowest the heart that crieth out after thee, for it is thee who hast begun. We love him because he first loved us. But then the riddles and all the difficulties are so many. The mountains are so high. The impossibilities are so great. And it can only be solved by thee. Oh, there is but one name given under heaven among men. But what a hidden person, Lord, and that people cannot see thee. And when thou dost hide behind our wall, then their eyes are so blind. And when they read of thee in thy holy word, and where thou dost reveal thyself, then the ears are closed and the eyes, they are closed to see thee. Oh, could it please thee then in this day to show thyself, and that thou may give light into all thy truth, and into that way of salvation, wherein thou dost redeem and deliver all thy people, and that way which is so free, without money and without price, and by which they receive an eternal inheritance. Oh, everything, all for nothing, and that for the sake of him who has finished everything that was given unto him to do, and who has received all power in heaven and in earth. O Lord, come then, we beseech thee, to us and unto our dear children. Look upon young and old together, and all the needs and the cares of this life, families, parents. Give diligence, faithfulness, wisdom, grandparents. Oh, cause them to open their mouths also in that wisdom that thou hast given unto them in the experience of their life. Oh, that all may not be for this world, but wilt thou cause those who ought to speak unto children and grandchildren to have mouths that may go open, and that may have lives, and that may be a testimony of thy work, and that may be to the drawing of that younger generation. Oh, that thou may look upon all those who are in great need in this world, all the afflicted and the sick, all that mourn, all those that suffer from serious diseases, those that do lie in the prisons, all those that suffer warfare, O Lord, remember, when men cannot help, then give the cry to heaven and give to experience and that thou art the living God. And wilt thou look upon all those that rule and reign over us. Lord, remember them. Oh, cause them to hear thy voice as the rulers in this world, and that they may be given to know that they have also to stand before that great lawmaker and their judge. Turn us again as nations and as peoples. Remember us as churches. Oh, keep us from falling away from thy blessed truth in lifestyle, in doctrine. Oh, cause us to love thy truth, to hold to thy truth, and cause us to experience that truth, and that thou hast given unto our forefathers to know and to maintain with their own life's blood. Oh, that thou may give it also in this afternoon hour unto us, unto our brother, and that labors in Calgary in this day, and those thy servants that labor in the other congregations. Lord, remember us. Bless thy word. Bless all that we have received from our forefathers. And instruct us now in our hearts, that there may be sons and daughters, and that may take the place of the fathers and the mothers in grace. Look on us undeservedly and forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 190, stanzas 1 through 4. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Shamed, let me never be. O save me in thy righteousness. Give ear and rescue me. Give ear and rescue me. The last collection today is for the Blue Book Sermons, Psalter 190, 1 through 4. Congregation, we ask your attention for this afternoon hour for Lord's Day 16, the 44th question. Lord's Day 16, question 44. Why is there added, he descended into hell? Answer, that in my greatest temptations, I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, terrors, and hellish agonies, in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, hath delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. So far, our Lord's Day, Christ's descension into hell. First, the descension which we deserve. Second, the descension Christ endured. Third, the dissension the church is delivered from. Christ's dissension into hell. First, the dissension which we deserve. Second, the dissension Christ endured. Third, the dissension that the church is delivered from. He descended into hell. Congregation, what is more awful than that matter which these words express? He descended into hell. Who of us can bear such a thought? Such a thought of our loved ones as we are standing around an open grave. He descended into hell because there is much talk about ascending, much talk about ascending into heaven. But how many of whom it is spoken that they have ascended into heaven have not actually descended into hell? And there are some of whom we are certain, because we read in God's word that Judas went to his own place. And what does it mean? It means that he descended into hell. And so we must also believe of many we read of in the Word of God. If we think of a Pharaoh and how and that he has lived this life and how that he has gone out of this life in persecution of the true people of the Lord, then we must only be able to believe that he descended not only into that sea, but that he descended into hell. And then we think about a Herod, we think about a Pilate, then we can only believe that these enemies of God and of his church, upon their death, that they have so descended into hell. What an awful thought. But it is not only as such persons, but it is also persons that are full of religion. Because what have we to believe of an Ananias and Sapphira? What have we to believe of Pharisees and scribes, unto whom the Lord has pronounced over and over again, woe, woe, woe unto you. He descended into hell. Those are thoughts. They are so awful, and that we wish to banish those thoughts as soon as we are able from our minds. Rather annihilation than to descend into hell. Rather to not exist anymore at all than to exist in such a state. All these say, blessed brute creation, blessed dogs, blessed lions, blessed birds when they die, because dead then is dead, and the dead, they know not anything, but there is no such thing, and there will be no such hope for you or for me as the hope of annihilation, because our soul that is born to an endless life, and our body that will also be resurrected to an endless life. He descended into hell. Oh, awful thought, awful state, where that worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, where our conscience will no longer be able to be stamped out, but where every disobedience will be remembered, every thought, every word, every deed. And then without that blessed repentance that does give comfort in the life of God's true people, where every blessing that we have received in this life that will be recalled with great remorse, where every comfort that the Lord had given here below, where every opportunity that the Lord had given that we would be reconciled unto Him, and that we would escape that awful state, will be recollected again. And then with a refusal to bow, a refusal to acknowledge our own guilt. Oh, how that worm that is not quenched in that place, but there the mind is filled with the awful apprehensions of that wrath of God. And that wrath actually poured out. We read it together. Not a drop. Not one drop of water to cool that tongue of that rich man. Oh, there the will of man, ever crossing the will of God, never to come into that blessed subjection, that blessed submission. He descended into hell. Oh, what an awful state. Who can fathom it? Weeping and gnashing of teeth, an eternal pain, an eternal suffering. What do we read? We read it is a prepared fire. It is an everlasting fire that is prepared, we read, prepared by God Himself for the devil and his angels. Oh, a lake of fire wherein man is ever swimming, swimming. Oh, wherein man he is ever falling, falling, falling into that bottomless pit. He descended into hell. Oh, that total separation. Total separation from all good.
the total separation from God Himself, from every blessing of God, from every comfort, from every common blessing that we may enjoy from Him day by day and moment by moment. But then a great gulf that is fixed between us and every good. Oh, a separation from God the Father, who is the fountain of all good. A separation from God the Son, in whom is the only hope, in whom is the only expectation. What does that mean? When there is no hope, then there is an eternal despair. And then there is no reason for a man to grasp. There is no reason for a man to cling to the smallest thought that there shall ever come a deliverance from this place. He descended into hell. But there, where there we have rejected the light, then man, he will be ever in that outer darkness, separation from God the Father, separation from that only hope in God the Son, separation from that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Oh, who is He? He is the distributor of every blessing, and especially the distributor of those blessings which are the most necessary, the distributor and the giver of peace. Oh, there is no peace, the distributor and the giver of all joy, but then all the joy must be lacking. Oh, the distributor of grace, but there shall be no grace anymore to those who are miserable and to those who are undeserving. Oh, separation from God, as all good Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, separation from the Church of God, separation from the holy angels, and then to be with those who are in such rebellion against the true and the living God. Oh, He descended into hell. How just is God, oh, to punish forever. Oh, how just is God to punish His creature that He has made in His own image and in His own likeness, and who has placed Him in that garden wherein everything was provided for Him. And He has said unto Him to love Me and to serve Me and to give your whole life and all your heart. And there was no reason, oh, no reason that man should have turned away, but of his own free will. Oh, He has chosen to rebel against Him. Oh, how just for God now to punish forever and forever that creature that He has made in His own image and that has rebelled against Him. Oh, He descended into hell. How right is that awful vengeance of God to inflict that punishment that He has threatened against man for his disobedience. Oh, how right now is that vengeance when He has filled him with all good and when He has invited him unto Himself and when He has threatened him for his disobedience. Oh, how right for that vengeance now to be inflicted upon this creature. He descended into hell. Oh, how hot that wrath of God to afflict that creature, to torment that creature, so that as we have read together, that is the Lord Jesus himself, that has spoken of the awfulness of that place, that holy and that divine being who knows that place to which we are traveling, and who has spoken and come to seek and to save that which is lost, who has wept over Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Oh, then, he says, how just shall be that punishment, how hot shall be that wrath and that affliction, that torment. Oh, for that drop of water. Why? Because I am tormented in this flame. Oh, he descended into hell. How, congregation, can we bear? How can we bear to think of it? How can we bear to think of it for ourselves? How can we bear to think of it for all of our loved ones? Oh, our dear father, our dear mother, who has brought us into this world and who has cared for us, who is now in their old age, for whom we would do everything that we care for them every moment. Oh, how can we bear to think of it? He descended into hell. Oh, how can we bear to think of it? Our dear wife, our dear husband, oh, who means so much to us, who mean everything for us, our dear sister, our dear brother, our dear children. Oh, how can we bear it? Our own son, our own daughter, whom we have brought into this world, oh, whom we care for with all our hearts, and who do we labor for, that we may prevent for them in this world the least amount of suffering. Oh, then we cringe. We cringe, fathers and mothers, when they have just a little splinter in their finger, and when they have now to suffer. Oh, then we say, child, I would take it over from you if I could, that you would not have the least amount of pain. Oh, how shall we bear it? Oh, to think he descended into hell, and the smoke of his torment that does ascend up forever and forever. Oh, he descended into hell. It is the final punishment. It is the greatest punishment. It is that never-ending punishment from which there is no hope ever escape. Oh, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. And that tree that is now fallen, and he descended into hell. Oh, congregation, how awful. How awful is sin. How provoking unto God is sin, if he has made such a place for the punishment of sin, and if he has threatened sin with a threefold death, then how provoking unto him must sin be. Oh, what a holy God must he be. What a righteous God must he be. Of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Oh, if we would only consider it. Under every temptation that we come across in this world, what a holy, what a righteous, what a just God, would we not be more as Joseph? How shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Oh, he descended into hell. What a wonder. What a wonder that we are not there. Although we have lost already father and mother, and sister and brother, and son or daughter, oh, how long suffering still is the Lord with us, that we are yet out of hell, and that we are warned. And not only that we are warned, but that we are instructed. Instructed in what? Instructed in what our instructors do lay before us even in this afternoon. And what is it? Oh, it is the descent. It is the descent of the Son of God. It is the descent of the Lord Jesus Christ into hell. He descended into hell. You say, is that really so? How can that now be? Rome, they say that the Lord Jesus, he has actually descended into hell. And for what reason? He actually descended there, they say, and that he may deliver the Old Testament saints, who, because Christ's suffering was not yet finished, and because as if there would be still some question whether it would be completely finished, then it was not possible that they would go immediately into heaven. And so they have had their place in limbus patrum, in the limbo of the fathers, a place where they did not suffer the torments of hell, a place where they did not enjoy the pleasures of heaven, but a place that was just neutral, and that they would go to until that time, and that the Savior would give his life, and that the price would be paid, and then he would go there to limbus patrum and deliver them out of that place. They say also for another reason. And what is it? That is in order, and that those who have to go because of venial sins, light sins, as if there is such a thing, to purgatory, that they may have these sins purged before that they may enter into heaven. And now the Lord Jesus, he had so to descend into hell in order that they may be given salvation and that they may later enter into heaven. But God's word that does not speak of limbus patrum, and God's word does not speak about purgatory, and thus these things are the fables of men. We read of that thief, that the Lord Jesus said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The Lutherans, they also say that the Lord Jesus actually descended into hell. But that is for a different reason. What is that? That is, that he may there proclaim his victory, the victory over death and hell and the grave. But we read not of this either in the Holy Scriptures. Thus, we may see and feel that this article, he descended into hell, that has been variously interpreted in the church for many ages. And why? Because in the Bible, there are different uses of this word hell. We know that David, he has used that word in its original form in prophecy of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has used this word to point unto the grave. Thus he has prophesied, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," meaning, "Thou wilt not leave my soul, my body, actually, in the grave." The Lord Jesus, we have read it together, then he used this word hell in its original for something else, and that is for the place of the damned. And thus the Lord Jesus has described for us a little bit, for our warning, what that place is. And now there is one more, David, he says, the sorrows of hell come past me. The pains of hell, they got hold upon me. And then it was not that he has said that he has actually gone and experienced the pains of hell and the sorrows of death. No. But it is that in the experience of his soul, and that he has experienced something of the awful judgment of the Lord upon sin. And thus, because that word that is used in different senses in the Bible, then there have been different interpretations about what our fathers have meant by this word hell in our confessions. But the Lord Jesus, he has never actually descended into hell. That is impossible. He did not go there in his divine nature. His divinity did not descend there. That is impossible. Although he is with his divine nature in a general sense, present in every place, that it is said that if I ascend into heaven, behold, thou art there. And if I descend into hell, thou art there. Yet it is not in the divine nature that the Lord Jesus has, as it were, suffered in hell. Is he present there? Yes. Present in what way? Oh, he is present there in his judgment. Hell is actually his wrath, and therefore he is of necessity present there. But it is not as if and that he has descended in his divine nature to suffer anything in hell. We know that his body certainly did not descend there, because his body that has lain 3 days in the grave, and we know what has happened to his soul, that it also did not descend there, because he has, when he has bowed his head and given up the ghost, he has commended his spirit unto his Father. Oh, what does it mean then that he descended into hell? Oh, then as David does say, and that he had to experience something in such a little way of the sorrows of death and of the pains of hell, and then it was in the way of prophecy concerning that blessed mediator, that he would experience the anguish and the pains, the reproach and the shame during the whole passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, or that he may know something of this, the extreme anguish and pain that those who will enter into that place, that they shall suffer the same that the damned will suffer to all eternity. And now the extremity of that suffering, and we can read in God's word, he has suffered in a special way in two places. And where are those two places? The first, that was in that Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, there we read how that the wrath of God, and that is experienced in the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has to exclaim that my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And there, and then he has to experience, as it were, that his whole body would be, as it were, even dissolved under the greatness of the anguish, when his sweat became as great drops of blood falling onto the ground. All that awful suffering in that garden. And then in the second place, when he is nailed unto that tree, and there he has to experience something, and that actually we cannot even enter into. Oh, there he has to experience something that the human mind is not able to comprehend. When the presence, the felt presence of his own Father is withdrawn from him, oh, thus he descended into hell. Then he did suffer the agony. Then he did endure the weight of the divine curse, the divine wrath. His soul under the great temptations of the Lord, burdened not with the sin of a single person, but burdened with the weight of the guilt and the iniquity of his entire church. Oh, and then he was given to see something. Oh, he was given to see something in its fullness. What that people see only such a small measure of. And then he must see the great wrath of that judge. Oh, then he must behold something of the requirements of that law of God. Oh, then he must feel something of the great majesty of the person of his Father, and that holy being against whom that people have sinned. Oh, then he must see that law from its beginning to its end in all its perfections, the demands in thought, word, and deed that is required of every single one of his creatures, that is required of that true people of the Lord. And then he does behold something of that awful justice of God, and how that the Lord, he is not able to look through his fingers at a single sin, but that justice of God must be satisfied. And then he does behold something of that awful vengeance of God with which that great judge is armed, and that he may pour out his wrath upon sin. Oh, then he must experience something. He must feel something of that great curse that is laid upon him and by his own Father for the sake of that people. Oh, his human nature, like your human nature, like my human nature, oh, that is shuddered and that is feared, his divine nature that does not suffer, that cannot suffer. But oh, now that human nature, and that is seeing by that divine nature everything that is coming. And we cannot give ourselves an impression of hell. No, with every description, though we try to lay it before ourselves in the greatness of its magnitude and agony, in the awfulness of the suffering, and then we are not able to give ourselves the least impression of what hell is. But now the Lord Jesus, oh, he did tremble because he knew. He knew in his divine nature what that suffering was. And thus he has gone forward, knowing and filled with all consternation with what was ahead of him. And so we can read the devil. He was not quiet either. No, but the devil was there. He was there attacking the Lord Jesus, attacking him not only in the body, but attacking him also in his soul, tempting the Lord Jesus to sin. Oh, if thou art the Christ, come down from the cross, tempting him with false accusations, tempting him with lies, tempting him with hypocrisies, tempting him with mockeries. But now what is the greatest suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ? That was that descend into hell, all that was to be forsaken of his own Father. What is it? It is the essence, congregation. It is the essence of what hell is. It is the very definition of hell itself. That is that separation, that awful separation from his Father. Oh, that is a greater separation than we would experience in that great separation of those two intimate friends, our soul and our body, created to be joined together into one. And man, all fearing and all our life, all we are trying to prevent this great separation, and that we have no desire to experience and to go through, and that our soul would be separated from our body. And now the Lord Jesus, oh, if that is a close communion, if that is a close union in the soul and the body of man, and that we're created and joined together by the Lord, then what is that union between the three persons of that Holy Trinity? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Oh, it is an inseparable union. And they are three in person, yes, but they are one God. And so inseparable, and therefore, what must now that have been? And when the Lord Jesus must experience the very essence of hell, and when he must experience the withdrawing of the presence of his own Father, oh, we can read in God's holy word how quiet the Lord Jesus was from the beginning to the end. Oh, how willingly he has gone forward. The disciples said, no, this shall not be unto thee. But the Lord Jesus, he has set his face toward Jerusalem, and he has gone so steadfastly, and he has stood now before Pilate, and he has withstood all kinds of suffering and mockery, and he was as a sheep before her shearers, dumb. He opened not his mouth. But now, oh, when that moment came, oh, when that torment came, when that great anguish came, and that he had to feel something of that separation from his Father, oh, then he cried out. Oh, then he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, he descended into hell. And why? Oh, it was necessary for the people. And why? Because their sin that was not only in body, but that sin that was also in soul. And therefore he had to suffer at that punishment. That punishment due to thought, word, and deed. And that he could not suffer only in his body, but he had to take that full price. And why? That he may gain, that he may earn that full redemption. Let us sing 185, 2, 4, 6, and 7. Preserve my sinking soul, I pray, from tides of hatred save. Let not the waters overflow. Redeem me from the grave. 2, 4, 6, and 7 of 185.
why is there added, he descended into hell, that in my greatest temptations. Congregation, do you know what temptations are? Or do you never think about that? Because there are some that never think. They just go on and on. And whatever desires that live in their heart, well, they fulfill them in the midst of this world. And there are others, they restrain themselves. A little bit, young people, of that temperance that we have heard of in the day of yesterday. Then they restrain themselves. And they attempt, at least in an outward way, not to walk in the ways of sin. Then they watch. And when they are watching, then they begin to learn. And then they begin to know that this, that is to them a temptation. And that is to them a temptation. And they learn what temptation is. And that is now a great blessing, if we may learn even an outward way to watch. Are God's people also tempted? Oh, the Lord Jesus was himself tempted. What did Satan say to him? He said, if thou be the Son of God. Thus the Lord Jesus was tempted even to deny and to question his own divinity. Oh, God's people, no, they are not exempt from such temptations. In my greatest temptations. That means our fathers say there are lesser temptations and there are greater temptations, that they are not all the same. And what temptations are to them the greatest? Well, they have to do with those things that are the most dear to their hearts. And what is that? Oh, that is the relation between God and their soul. Is that now what is most dear to your heart? And now what does Isaiah say of Zion? That Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me. And my Lord has forgotten me. And congregation, that is now one of their greatest temptations. Oh, from the moment of that new birth, what is children the desire? Can you tell me now? We try to say that to you. Do you know what that is? What is the desire of that newborn soul? Oh, that is that they may be reconciled to God, that they may come back to God again. Oh, do you now know of such a desire? And wind and weather will go over this. But this desire, when it is from the Lord, and that shall never be taken away. But our fathers say, in my greatest temptations, oh, from that moment, when they are born again, the separation that they have made between God and their soul, that becomes their greatest burden. And that whole life, sometimes more, sometimes less, but that whole life that is directed to one thing. And what is that? Oh, that is that they may be restored again unto that blessed favor
and communion with the Lord. And there is nothing that they are not willing to forsake, and that there is nothing that they are not willing to perform, that they may receive their desire. My soul longeth for the courts of the Lord. Oh, my heart and my flesh that crieth out, we read, after that living God. And that breach now, all that breach between God and their soul, that is what they cannot bear. What did Moses say? The Lord said, I will send my angel before thee. Oh, Moses says, no. Then I don't want to leave from this place. Oh, Lord, if thy presence go not up with us, then carry us not up hence. Oh, they cannot live with such a breach, but, oh, they are not able. And that is what they learn. They are not able to take away the breach. That is the awful experience of their life. That is now the distress of their soul. Oh, how weak, and that they find those hands to be a spirit that is willing, but a flesh that is weak. And what a broken wreck is that first covenant, that it is not able to bring them anymore into that blessed communion with the Lord because of the weakness of my flesh, and because it is now that by the deeds of the law no man shall be justified in the sight of the Lord. Oh, how their soul that comes to cry out like our fathers say, oh, is there no way that I may be delivered from this punishment and again be received into favor? Oh, that in my greatest temptations, and what does the Lord then reveal to that people? Oh, he reveals to him. He says it to them from heaven. How? In his holy word. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then they may see it. Oh, then they may see that he is the way. And then their heart that begins to go out after him as that way, that truth, and the life. Oh, he is the way. He is now altogether lovely in the eyes of that people, because he is now the way wherein they may be reconciled unto God, the repairer of the breaches between God and their soul. Oh, that in my greatest temptations, oh, what are now the greatest temptations of the people? Oh, the greatest temptation is that it will never be yet. That it will never yet be for themselves. Because the Lord has shown to them such a great preciousness in that blessed person. Oh, he has made him so necessary. Oh, they see he is that one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. But congregation, they don't have him yet. They don't have him yet. Oh, they still lack with all the revelation of the Lord to their soul, who he is, what that way is. They have not yet the application. And then all that the Lord has shown to them, that is not enough. No, they need it for themselves. Oh, they still carry that burden upon their back. And they still fear so often that burden that is going to sink them into Tophet. In my greatest temptations, oh, that is the temptation that they will still have to miss it yet in the end. Oh, so sure they are that he is able, but is he now willing? Oh, yes, he is willing for you, but is he willing for me? So they have to say with that leper, O Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That in my greatest temptations, if my sin is now never forgiven, what does that mean? That means forever and forever separated from that God whom my soul has come to love. And then so righteously, because I deserve it. Oh, the Lord, He is so right to cast me away forever and forever. But then, oh Lord, I will never curse Thee there. Oh, I will never curse Thee there, because my soul cannot curse Thee. Oh, in my greatest temptations, is there now such a people in our midst with such temptations as do take place in the life of the true people of the Lord, and for whom they are now your greatest temptations? Why is there added, He descended into hell, that in my greatest temptations I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by His inexpressible anguish, pains, terrors, and hellish agonies, in which He was plunged during all His sufferings, but especially on the cross, hath delivered me from the anguish and the torments of hell. O congregation, do you not now see the blessedness of receiving the application? What do we read here? My Lord Jesus Christ. O people of the Lord, is it not a worthy thing when you would seek and when you would come to know not only what the Lord has given you once to see, in all your distress, when the Lord has brought you to an end of all your own labors, and when the Lord has shown you when you thought there was no way anymore, because that all you knew was a broken covenant, and then the Lord showed you, no, that there is a new way, that there is a living way. And now, with all the Lord has shown to you, oh, what a preciousness to be able now to say that He is mine and I am His. Because that is now the assurance that our Father speak of here. My Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, is that not a book of comfort? Oh, no. It is not a book of comfort, congregation, for those who have no distress. Because when we have no distresses, then we also do not need this comfort. But now that awful separation of Christ from His own Father as a cause of His greatest sufferings, of His greatest agonies, that is now the foundation of the greatest comfort for that people. All the rending, as it were, if we may say it in that way properly, something we cannot fathom, but the rending, as it were, even within that divine Trinity, God, forsaken of God, for the mending of that relation between God and his people. Oh, of him it was declared that he descended into hell. For what? To take away the greatest fears. To take away the greatest temptations of that church of God. No. No. They shall never descend there. And there are a few. There are a few that may receive and enjoy the blessedness of that assurance in this life, that may receive not only the revelation, but that may also receive it by way of application. But regardless, every one of that people for whom that separation, is that true in your life? For whom that separation between God and your soul is now your greatest temptation. Oh, they shall never descend into hell. And why not? Because God is not a man that he should lie, and he is not the Son of Man that he should repent. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember thy own people for whom there are so many fears and temptations, and that to perish one day yet, after all that thou hast given unto them. Lord, it cannot be. But then they need to see it. They need eyes. They need faith. In exercise to believe it. And for that reason, thou hast given that blessed confession. He descended into hell. Oh, cause us together to receive a right impression, a saving impression of the seriousness of our life, our long home, and make this thy dear son and what he has done to be precious and necessary for our souls also. Bring us safely home. And wilt thou give our heart also to acknowledge thee for all that thou hast helped us with again in this day, undeservedly. Be with us in the week to come. Remember us who must travel, and when thy servant is to be installed in his congregation far away from here. Lord, bring us safely back again to our own place, family, and congregation. And wilt thou remember each one in his place in this world. Give thought and meditation on thy holy word. Remember the young people and that will travel back again tomorrow homeward. Give traveling mercies and be with those that are in the hospitals. And all those that suffer for Jesus' sake. Amen. 75. O Lord, to thee I cry. Thou art my rock and trust. O, be not silent, lest I die and slumber in the dust. 1-6 of Psalter 75. Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.